this is Radio Goodies, or is it? It may be the classic cult TV club, CCTV.
See,
today we've been watching The Goodies. And what is The Goodies? What are The Goodies? So tell us about The Goodies.
The Goodies were a show that started in the early 70s and worked its way up to about 1980. It's about three gentlemen, Graham, Bill and Tim, and they will do anything, anywhere for anyone. And they go on all these crazy hijinks and adventures when they have these fantastic ideas. In the show's run, they do just about any occupation you can think of and any harebrained scheme you can think of, which is quite open.
Okay, so let's go around the table. My name's Justin, and we also have...
Lisa.
And it's Alex.
Jeanette.
And Angus.
We've just watched an episode, it's called Radio Goodies, and it's about a pirate radio station that's been set up in the North Sea by the Goodies, who are retrobates attempting to take over the post office and also enable themselves to broadcast across Britain. Who's actually seen this episode before? Is that everybody?
I have.
Yeah,
Alex?
This is my first time doing The Goodies, so I am a complete noob here. So
okay, so what did you think of that episode?
I think I know, because I've been hearing about The Goodies for a while and I always thought that they'd be more controversial, something along those lines. Like, I'm not sure, maybe it's just a different styles in the 70s compared to now, but yeah, I think it's quite funny, especially because their style is very silly, over the top, and but very person based. So as a result, it seems relatively timeless.
It's fairly slapstick compared with modern comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because I think it seems as though most modern comedy movies, at least, seem to be based upon conversation, which is, makes them very, very bland.
Normally slapstick is associated with not being particularly smart comedy or anything. Do you think it had that quality?
Just there was a slapstick, it was a combination of stuff, whereas if they were relying too much on it being slapstick or physical humour, it would just be them blandling around or smashing into each other or something silly like that. So it wasn't just the slapstick elements, it was also more like a cartoon where they were doing silly things like pretending to be post boxes or things of that nature, where it's actually not based upon, oh, I am slipping on a banana peel, ooh, falling over, and something basic like that. It is actually conceptual rather than just flailing around and being complete.
I gather for some people that this is actually something that is part of that background, that it's actually part of people's history in some measure. So, Jeanette, how did this fit into your background?
Well, I was watching it as a teenager because it was on before Doctor Who. So that's how I started watching it. Of course, Doctor Who was repeated all through winter in Australia and I watched it. But when I got to the UK, I really appreciated there's a lot of political and social satire of The Goodies. It is setting up English society. In every episode, it often will take a different aspect of English society. One is police, one is hospitals, state of hospitals in England. And it's only when I got to the UK that I saw those connections. That in Australia, I think we just saw it as funny because we didn't have the English sort of understanding.
And that was something that I realised when I watched this show more recently, is each of the actual characters represent a certain aspect of society. So Bill is the lower class, Graham's the middle class, and then Tim's that upper class, you know, royalist. And so that influences how they react to things within the show as well in different episodes. Different, you know, when there's one where it's more of an upper class leaning episode, Tim will gravitate towards it and Bill will revolt against it and then vice versa. And then in the episode we watch here, it was very capitalist and starting big business to compete with the government, and Graham got on board with that. He's got that kind of business mind.
Yes.
That's the thing, like I have vague concepts of that, but basically, especially because of the 50-year gap as well as the 1,000-mile gap between Britain in the 1970s to Australia today, is that I thought, oh, this is them mucking around and being silly. Like, I am aware of a few different things in Britain of the era, like, say, how this was just about the time when the BBC finally relinquished its monopoly on radio broadcasting, and vaguely aware of, say, privatisation in the period, but nothing concrete enough for me to say, oh, this is satire, this is them sending up this.
Yes.
So basically, I can view this in terms of, this isn't satirical at all, it's just them being silly.
And some people were actually brought up with this, rather than actually, you know, seeing it for the first time, or having lived it in their early years. So what was it like to be brought up by those who had seen this?
Yeah.
And scrolling their eyes going, oh, this again.
Well, of course, I grew up with two parents who were massive fans of the Goodies, who would constantly make jokes about the Goodies and that sort of stuff. But it took a while for me to fully see the Goodies in its entirety. So I started off mainly watching the one episode of the Goodies over and over again.
Which episode?
Yes, it was very much along that line.
Should we mention your reference for people who haven't seen the episode?
Oh, which episode was that?
It was literally the very first episode they ever released, which of course was The Beef Eaters, Series 1. And I'd seen that so often that it got to the point where I was almost annoyed at the Goodies because my parents didn't have any other episodes. So it was like, okay, I'll just watch this one again. And then make a reference and go, oh, you haven't seen the Goodies? You need to watch the Goodies. And then, of course, I had no access to any of the other
episodes. And of course, this is slightly ironic because Radio Goonies, part of the joke was that they could only afford one record, so they played it over and over again. It's almost appropriate for this episode.
Yeah, it does.
You've lived it.
You've lived this episode.
I feel your pain because I grew up with, you know, my parents really liked The Young Ones, but we only had one episode on Betamax, and it was the Video Nasty episode. So we knew that one back to front, inside out, but didn't know any other episode until I got the DVDs only about 10, 15 years ago.
I think we only had Blackout of the Naughty episodes or something. Kids grew up watching. Until I got to a certain age, we think, are they going to start to understand the jokes? Maybe they shouldn't watch it now.
So, Alex, this is the first time you've ever seen the Goodies.
Yeah.
And do you think it held up in any way? I mean, where did it fall down in terms of
modern? That's the thing. Like, I was assuming it was going to be more radical, isn't the right word, but basically more groundbreaking or subversive or something on those lines, and it wasn't. I wasn't really expecting it to be because, again, it's a 50-year-old episode. And basically so much has changed since then, and basically you can do a lot of wacky things now that you simply couldn't back then. I'm sure if you really, really wanted to, you could just make a playlist on YouTube, which is like an hour-long video of just Walk in the Black Forest.
Do you think modern audiences would cope with this humour?
Yeah, I think they would, because for example, I'm just thinking of, say, shows that I grew up with, like South Park. If you cut out the satire, it doesn't work. For some of those episodes, was if you cut out the set out of here, if you have no idea about, say, pirate radio, or about privatisation, or about British culture, I'm sure this will still work. Just, they're being silly, they're trying to do a radio station and a post office, and it still holds up. I think, unless you think this silly them making anything that fools themselves doesn't work, apart from that, you'll still find it's funny.
Yep.
I was going to ask Gypsy, because you watch the Goodies.
Yeah, so my parents actually bought me the Goodies box set as a birthday present and said, you need to learn this.
So this is education.
Great parents.
Actually, I think pirate radio is probably a timeless piece regardless of era. There's a lot of information that can be brought back to nowadays. Because each episode, yes, it had like a political background or it was touching on social norms then, but it can still be brought forward in a way, because pirate radio then was about breaking from the norm, whereas radio, like for example, Triple J used to be Double J, and it was very avant-garde and very out there and on its own, whereas now we're going back to the norm. So I think pirate radio in a sense will definitely be coming back into a fashion, if that makes sense, to help break the mould again, because we're all conforming.
And perhaps into new mediums.
Especially because, like,
podcasts.
And also thinking, like, there's genres of music that I love that nobody's heard of because it's all just online. Like, say, Vaporwave. Not Vaporwave in particular, but Vaporwave being a style of music that's based upon copyright theft and almost a snarky anti-capitalist, anti-consumerist style that only exists on the internet, and you can just make that kind of music now. And so, say, back in the day, having a radio station at all that wasn't the BBC was innovative and kind of the norm, but now you have to do something that's so meagre it only appeals to like 1,000 people in the world, and you're just doing this little thing on the internet, and that's how it works.
And it's interesting to think now, you're saying that, you know, only say 1,000 people would listen to that sort of music now, but like a radio station is the best way to get that sort of music out there, and so social media comes into a kind of radio sort of stance where it's like, hey, suggest new music for me. hey, you should listen to this sort of thing. So we've got our own sort of social pirate radio without breaking the laws, I guess.
And even also as well, like, there's a lot of stuff I watch online that I know will not appeal to anybody else, but I know they've got enough of a fan base that they can literally have a Patreon, basically people paying the money to make the stuff. And they can survive on that even though they've only got 1,000 fans, and they can still work because even though they're niche, their fandom is so so strong, they're willing to support them in that way. If it's, it can be political stuff, it can be reviews, it can be them playing a video game, and it'll still work.
So you think the goodies would survive these days? As opposed to in the video we just watched, they weren't surviving particularly well at all.
I think because the part of the joke was they were going too big too fast, like eventually trying to control the entirety of Britain by turning it into the North Sea and therefore into the international waters.
Well, it's an ambition.
Yeah, it's like the thing, if you want to be big, you can't. If you want to be small, you can. You can survive. If you get just enough of a big audience to support yourself, you can do that.
And I think this particular episode, this one's a good episode for someone watching it for the first time who doesn't have a bit of an insight. There's episodes that do go quite controversial, even probably by that era's standards as well. And there's probably ones that are maybe a little bit too of their time. So it's that one, this particular episode's fantastic. You don't even need to understand pirate radio very well to be able to understand what they're getting at too. It's fantastic. Yeah. And it gives you a really great scope of the characters, what they're trying to do and how they're trying to go, and the dynamics between the characters too.
I mean, that's a bit of that. Mostly it was because Graham basically became a tyrant, but I'm not sure how much of the dynamics between the characters I got. I don't feel as though I know the characters enough just from the 30 minutes I saw, but...
You can still kind of bring it back to modern day and age now.
Yeah.
You've got a tyrant that oversees a big business that's biting before they can chew, whilst underemploying, like, staffing themselves.
And now for a walk in the Black Forest. Whoops. Was that record?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
As we seem to have lost the record.
We seem to have lost the record. Yes, we got cut off a little bit during that last episode. We thought we'd just finish off by asking the panel what they thought about that episode of The Goodies and whether they recommend it to current viewers. So...
I would definitely recommend it. It's really, really funny. A couple of things are a bit dated, as we've said, but no, it's all round a really good episode.
And do you think that applies across all of the goodies, or...?
I haven't seen all of the goodies, but from what I have seen, yes, I definitely recommend it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely recommend the goodies. In fact, watch all of the goodies, because there are a lot of things that still, like, are relevant to today.
The tandem bike
was
sold at auction about a week ago, their final bike. They had a few through the different series, and their last one of their bikes was sold.
How much for? Can we afford it is the question. And will it fit us all?
It's only 10L3, so I have to send people's laps. But yeah, and I think because I felt as though it might have been more dated than it actually was. Just because, say, if it's something really populist, it might be too current, but to actually work. Was it 40 years later? 50 years later? But yeah, I think it was not timeless, obviously. It only really works in the era, but it's universal enough that I think it would work.
That's what we were talking about before we got cut short. It is timeless to a point.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, with them, they're trying to show up the corporations and whatnot.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you've got people doing their backyard sort of stuff. So you've got, like, the Twitch streamers and stuff giving you different content, which would be pirate radio nowadays. So
and they have more variety than a walk in the Black Forest.
Exactly. Or if you want, you could just have a stream that's just nothing but the walk in the Black Forest. You could just...
Yeah.
I'm sure if you really wanted to, you could have, like, an hour-long YouTube video just of that. It's just, like... it's a joke. Get it?
I absolutely love the goodies, and I absolutely love this episode. I love so many episodes. The first few seasons are definitely my favourites. That being said, probably not my favourite, one of my favourite episodes, so I don't know whether that episode itself, by itself, for someone who's never watched it before or has not watched it for many, many years, whether that's probably indicative of what you would find. I think if you were going to watch The Goodies for the first time after a long period of time, or watch it for the first time full stop, I would probably recommend Kitten Kong, because it's a bit of a favourite. But one of my absolute favourites...
The Beef Eaters.
Beefeaters, first episode. That's probably a right up there as well. Yeah. My favourite episode, Ecky Thump.
Ecky Thump.
Yes. Okay. Which is a famous episode because it killed a man. No, it killed a man.
What, with a black sausage or?
Not quite, but...
Did he laugh so hard he got a heart attack?
That is exactly what happened. The man laughed so hard, he had a heart attack and he died. And I think, you know, there started to be a bit of an outrage about it, but his wife said, look, if there was going to be a way that you were going to go, laughing to death on your favourite programme was probably the way to go. Yes. But it is a really funny episode if you want to start somewhere.
I love the snooze one.
Snooze is one of my favourites too. I love that one.
That's probably the first one I ever watched.
I really enjoyed the censored episode. I don't know, you haven't seen
which one?
The censored episode where they've got the lady who watches, all she does is watch TV and stop people for watching, mentioning SE online.
Yes!
But Bill Oddie ends up going insane and just gets very, not graphic, but graphic for the goodies and trying to blow everything up and stuff and becomes a megalomaniac. Great episode.
That episode, the woman in that episode who's censoring everyone, it was based on a real person.
Maybe
was
trying,
yes. Snooze, one of the things I remember about Snooze is ever since I was a young kid, I always say Sleepy Bobos, and I think that probably comes from that Snooze. And I'll still say it, and people will go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's
Sleepy Bobos.
Like, talking about those episodes that you loved, I'm not seeing, I'm like, okay, keep talking about the thing I don't understand. Go on.
You have to watch more goodies, Alex.
Yeah.
You two have to be in on the secret of Sleepy Bobos.
There are so many memes that come out of the goodies that people quote all the time. Yeah. And you hear things like string, string, string everywhere. You just hear these things all the time. And the goodies is, I guess, a source of that kind of stuff.
And I think that's how we first started the idea of this podcast was talking about this episode.
It was. That's why we started with it.
And a walk in the Black Forest.
When we were discussing playing music on GBA, and I said we had to be careful we didn't end up with just one thing. And Lisa and I both burst out laughing.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Yeah.
I think that wraps up the goodies episode. Next week we're covering Star Trek, The City on the Edge of Forever.
Original season.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Good night.